area. Don't hear anything. All right. Hey, this is Ann Eller, and yes, it is Meet Me at the Diner, 4:07 in the afternoon, a historic day today. And later on, after 5 o'clock, we actually have an interview that I taped a little while ago with Congressman Jeff Duncan, so you want to hear what he had to say about health care, immigration, and contempt for Eric Holder. So we'll be talking about that after 5 o'clock during happy hour. That's an oxymoron, isn't there? But right now, I have a very special guest. She's originally from Greenwood, South Carolina. She lives in Germany. She sings in Switzerland. She loves the blues. She's very accomplished and very successful back here until July 25th. Who am I talking about? Tony Spearman. So, Tony Spearman, how are you doing today?
Oh, I'm fine. It just, I haven't gotten enough sleep since I've been here, but other than that, just fine.
Well, it's certainly good to have you here. I hope you enjoy our comfortable studio here.
It is. It's very interesting.
Yeah.
Very, very interesting.
Bet you've never been in a radio studio like this one.
You'd be surprised. You'd be surprised.
Yeah, most of them, though, are very small rooms and not all this pretty stuff that we have here.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
We are right in the back of Sharp Facets Gallery here. Of course, I've not been over there in Europe, so I don't know. Maybe they have great studios over there.
Yeah, some of them are, but there are some of them very small also.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So how does it feel to be back home again?
Good.
Good?
Yeah.
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 Now, you know, you've got a real interesting story, and of course, you play here in Greenwood. Usually, every time you come home, you do play some. And last year you played over there at the Abbeville Opera House.
Yes, I did a benefit show for Children's Home and for to help raise food for the food bank, together with Mr. Rick Dittman.
Mm-hmm.
From the train show, excuse me for
yeah.
doing
yeah,
that.
Yeah, that's okay. Yeah.
And with Dave Byers.
David Byers, right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it turned out real well.
Yeah, it was great. We had lots of fun.
And that was at the Opera House, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
The Abbeville Opera House, isn't it a great venue?
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
So you're back here. You've got a lot of interviews, and you also are going to be playing at a blues festival in North Carolina?
Yes. On the 13th.
On the 13th?
Mm-hmm.
Where in North Carolina?
It's right near, about an hour or something from Charlotte.
From Charlotte?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well,
mm-hmm.
that sounds good. And then on the 14th, you're going to be back here at Stokey's.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And the Blues Cruise and Festival of Discovery, all the barbecue is coming up, so you'll be right in there in the mix of it.
Yeah. Try not to get barbecued.
Try not to get speared.
Really?
Now you of course, in years past, you actually played with Gary Irwin and that group. Do you ever see Gary over in Europe?
Gary Irwin? I never played with him.
Well, not played with him, but Shrimp City Slim. He's the one that usually books the Blues Cruise.
Yeah, but I've never been on stage with him.
Never been on stage, no. Well, do you ever run into him over there in Europe? He goes
No, but I think he comes to Poland a lot.
Yeah.
And usually when he comes to Europe, and I'd be someplace else. Yeah.
So that's cool.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you were growing up, you said you grew up here in Greenwood, and then you got, I guess we could say, a wild hair to go to New York. What prompted that?
Well, it was, you know, one of those things when you get out of high school, you think, okay, so what am I going to do now? I just want to, you know, do something with my life. And then I said, okay, I'm going to leave. Because I've always, my biggest dream, even as a child, was to be a blues singer, because I love to sing blues, or to be a cop.
Well, it sounds like you did both of those because you went into the military.
Yeah.
So, but when you went to, when you decided to go to New York, I mean, that was a big step, wasn't it?
Yeah, I was afraid, you know, because I was still right out of high school. You never know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
But it's one of those things, you know, you jump into the cold water.
Now, your grandfather was instrumental in you being able to go.
Yeah, he told me, he said, if that's what you want to do, he said, I'll pay for your ticket and then go out and see the world. Make something out of yourself.
That's right. And while you were there, you stayed, with your aunt and uncle up there? So you had at least had a little bit of a base up there. You weren't thrown to the wolves totally.
Yeah, right. They always make sure that they, you know, checked on me and made things sure everything was okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you also played the saxophone. Now,
yeah.
That was a little different for that time. What made you want to play the saxophone?
It was kind of rebellious.
Rebellious against
yeah.
who?
You know, it was kind of rebellious against, you know, I guess, my mother, because my mother wanted me to play piano, and I wanted to play saxophone. I said, well, I don't want to play piano because everybody plays piano. You know, all my friends in school, they play piano, so I want to do something different.
Yeah.
You know? So I said, and I told my music teacher in high school at the time, Mr. Hardy, and I said, I'd like to play saxophone. And he said, okay.
So that money your mother was giving you for piano lessons?
Yeah.
Yeah. Was that used? That was used for the saxophone, huh?
Yes.
What did your mom say when she found out you were playing the saxophone? Just out of curiosity.
Girls don't play saxophone. Girls just don't do it at time.
Yeah.
Girls just don't play saxophone.
Yeah.
And another thing, when I got out of school, I had to run home and rehearse, you know, for my lessons for the next day.
Before mom got home.
Right.
And where did you keep the saxophone? Did she know about it from the get-go, or did she find out after the fact?
Well, she found out after the fact, and then, you know, so there's nothing she didn't gripe too much about it. She just told me that, you know, not to play while she was home or something, because maybe it was too loud. And so I said, okay, so this is why I would rush home to rehearse before she got home.
Now, but how did you know about the blues as a child, or
yeah.
was it more gospel, or how did you know about the blues? The blues was something I thought that was kind of underground.
It was.
Well, okay then, Tony, how did you get to know about it as a young girl?
I used to listen to Ernest Reckemore.
Okay.
From Nashville.
Okay.
And there was a place here in Greenwood, not far in Promised Land. And there was a place that they used to play blues all the time. I used to listen to the music there.
That what are you telling us? You used to sneak out to get to go to this?
I mean, No. I didn't sneak out. I couldn't do that. Too dangerous, you know. Too dangerous. At home, you know, when you're raised very strict.
Right.
You had to provide by the rules, you know.
Right.
So, anyway, I got a transistor radio once for Christmas.
Okay.
And I would put a blanket over my head with a flashlight. And then I would listen to Ernest Reckemore under the blanket and listen to blues. And I heard listen to people like B.B. King and Coco Taylor, you know, Howlin' Wolf and these people, Muddy Waters.
Well, that's great stuff.
Yeah, and I was like, one day I'm going to sing blues also. Yeah.
Did you ever sing at home with them? Did you sing along with them?
Under the blanket.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. When I was home alone, when my mom wasn't home,
yeah.
then I would sing. Yeah.
Okay, that's cool. That's
yeah.
cool. But So then you already had a focus. What
mm-hmm.
you like to do when you went to New York City? Did you visit some of the blues clubs and?
I was working, and this guy that I worked with, he asked me. He said, "You know," he said, "if you like blues," he said, "there's this club that we play at called Highway Inn." And he says, "If you'd like to, you can come with us." And he says, "Maybe try singing." He said, "'cause we're looking for a singer for our band."
Yeah.
I said, "Okay." So I went, and then they asked me to sing with them, so I started singing with them. And then I told them, I said, "Well, I just hope my mom doesn't find out, because I'd be in big trouble." And he said, "Just go for it."
Just go for it?
Yeah.
Now, what were you doing when you were working in New York?
I was working for a family there.
Oh, okay.
And then on the side, the guy that, you know, the family that I was working for, he told me, he said, "You know, you're too young and too intelligent to be working in someone else's kitchen."
Wow.
Or working in someone's home.
Mm-hmm.
He said, "Enter into a night college and go to school and learn something," he says, "and then make something out of yourself," he said. "You're too young to be, you know, hanging around doing this kind of work and stuff." So he took me to the college, and I entered into New York City College. And then I worked hard. And then I wanted to continue.
Mm-hmm.
So then I decided after being there for a few years, then I went into the military.
Yeah, because you wanted, you thought that that would, number one, would be a good way to help you pay for your education.
Right,
exactly.
Right, which you did. Yeah.
And it also gave you that opportunity to travel. Now, that was pretty good duty. Did you go to Germany first?
No, I was after finishing school, and because I went to Alabama to school, and then they sent me to Fort Devens, Massachusetts, and I went to school there. And when I finished my school there, then I said, okay, there was another offer to go to Fort Gordon, Georgia, to go to you know, military police school. So.
And you said to yourself, I wanted to be a policeman.
Yeah, so why not?
And a musician, this came to pass.
Yeah, if I said I passed the test, why not?
Yeah.
So I passed the test, and then they put me on a plane going to Fort Gordon, Georgia. Because originally I didn't want to go in the Army. I wanted to go to the Navy, I guess because my father was in the Navy. And the day that I went to the recruiting office to take the test, they were out to lunch.
You know, that's the story everybody tells.
It's true.
Everybody tells the same type of story.
I believe it.
Yeah.
And they were out to lunch, and so the guy from the recruiting office from the Army, he says, well, why are you waiting for them? He says, just let me show you what we have to offer. And so I said, okay. And so I looked at all the, you know, the films that they show you and everything, and then he says, okay.
And they're very persuasive.
Of course.
Yes.
Of course. You know. It's kind of thing like you go, wow, you know, is this real?
Yes.
And so he set up a test for me for the next day, and I went over the next day, and I took the test, and I didn't hear anything, and I said, oh, maybe I didn't pass the test. So he calls me. He says, okay, be here the next day at 8 o'clock in the morning to get ready to go to be sworn in to go to training school. I said, okay, so I did pass the day. He said, of course you did. And so he said, well, what was your plans, you know, if you went into the military? What were you planning on doing? What kind of work? I said, well, I really wanted to go to Fort Sam Houston, Texas, and work at the hospital there. He said, forget it.
Forget it.
I was like, okay. Then I must have flunked the test. And he said, no. He said, they're not going to let you go to Fort Sam Houston. He said, they have other plans for you. So I said, okay. He said, first you go get your training, and then we'll tell you where you go. And I left there and went to Massachusetts.
So you just picked up everything and left the next day?
Yeah, well, after I got sworn in, they took me straight from the military
base. No, 6 months waiting.
They took me straight from the military base because he told me to bring everything with me that I needed. And I drove my car, so I had to leave my car there on the base. And so then they took me from the military base straight to the airport.
They weren't letting you go, Tony Spearman.
No, they weren't.
Hey, we're talking with Tony Spearman here. She's a blues singer extraordinaire. We're actually going to play a little bit of her music in just a little bit. But right now we're going to hear a word from our sponsors. If you have a question for Tony, give us a call, 229-7984. That's 229-7984. Don't you go away.
Gold, more precious than any other time in history. Do you have gold? Do you need cash? Then bring it to SFG. That's Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72, Greenwood. Telephone 229-6613. Don't forget, we buy diamonds too. Paying the highest prices for your gold and diamonds at Sharp Facets Gallery.
The Diner. Yes, I'm Ann Eller. Yes, I'm here with Tony Spearman. We're having an excellent conversation here today and just talking about Tony's life, how she got her start. And, you know, it's a different world today how musicians get their start, but I kind of like the old-fashioned way like Tony's telling us right here. But we just had a call from Linda McDaniel, a recent Piedmont Tech grad. Nice story, an all-American story. Wow, your message that you had to work hard and goals is an inspiration. She's going in the Army in October. She's she must have graduated in the mechanics, a mechanic grad. So maybe she was in that part of Piedmont Tech. So how about that?
Good luck.
Good luck. That's a good word.
I think it's great.
Absolutely. So yeah. She's going in the Army in October. But now, Tony, so you went into the, so to get with this story, you went into the Army. Mm-hmm. They had other plans for you. I guess military police, is that what they thought, or was that your thought?
Yes. Well, when they sent me to Massachusetts, it was a totally different thing.
What did they want you to go into?
So then I went to Massachusetts and went to school.
Okay.
And then after I finished the year, then I said, oh, I'd like to go to military police school.
Yeah.
So I took the test,
mm-hmm.
and the next thing I knew, I was on a plane to Fort Gordon, Georgia. Yeah. And I went to Fort Gordon, Georgia, and went through the schooling there.
Were there many women in doing military police then?
Yeah, quite
yeah.
a few.
Quite a few?
Yeah, quite a few, yeah.
Okay.
And I went to Fort...
Well, that was back during...
Like 70s.
That was Vietnam War era, yes?
Yeah.
Or, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It was Vietnam War, yeah.
Yeah.
And... Then, so when I went to Fort Gordon, got trained in at Fort Gordon, then they wanted me to stay at Fort Gordon, you know, to work there. And I said, no, I want to go, you know, abroad. And then they give you this thing they call a dream sheet.
The dream sheet?
The dream sheet, yeah. And they tell you to write down all of the places that you would like to go. Like I said, it's a dream sheet.
Right.
So I wrote France, you know, different places. You know. And then... The last one I wrote, Germany, and I don't know why, because I really had no connections to Germany at the time. The only thing I knew about, I knew a lot about the culture from Germany, from Bavaria, like where I live, the Bavarian area, because of King Ludwig, because I would read a lot about him, you know, when I was growing up. And so I said, okay. So I got sent to Germany. That was my dream from the dream plan, dream sheet.
So you spent time in Germany, and yes. while you were doing this, you did some music, didn't you?
Yeah, in my free time, there were guys in my company, and they had a band, a blues and soul band, and there was a club downtown. And this was actually a club where the Temptations used to sing in when they were in the military, and the Four Tops. And the Shy Lights, they all sing in this club there in Munich.
Yeah.
And they were all in the military at the time. Yeah.
You know, you think back about the greats like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. That has to be, and I suppose you got to see them there. Did you get to see them? Yes.
No, they weren't there. When I would go there, they weren't there. They were going, they were someplace else. I got a chance to meet them later.
Did you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I got a chance to meet them later.
So how did you get to, you got to sing there, though. You were asked to be part of the group, right?
Yeah, I would go there because they would ask me to go there, and, you know, because they wanted someone to come and sing. So I would go there and sing and have a nice time, you know. And then, I had to be back on base to work Monday morning.
Well, so how did you, so now you became part of, after you got out of the military, right, you decided you didn't want to stay in. They wanted to send you, was it to Thailand?
Yeah. And when I said Thailand, I was like, okay, snakes.
Snakes?
Snakes I can have in Greenwood. And I said, nope, because they got big snakes in Thailand. No. So then I said, no, I'm just
And they didn't give you any other options? It was Thailand?
They wanted me to go to Thailand.
Okay.
And I said, okay, I've been to Japan. I had been to Korea. And then I said, okay, I'm just going to just get out, you know, retire. But they tried to get me to stay in. So I stayed in the reserve until I retired.
Now, your military experience during that time, how many years were you actually in the military?
Altogether with the reserve time, 20 years.
And how much of active duty?
Active duty, I had the whole time except for 2 years.
2 years.
Mm.
You know, what did you think of your military experience?
Great. You know, there's a saying where they say the military make you or break you, and that is a true saying.
So it made you.
Yeah.
It made you.
Yeah.
Well, that is too cool. Tony Spearman, I want to thank you for your service to our country. We certainly do appreciate it.
Thank you.
And when we come back after hearing the news, we've got South Carolina news. We're going to be talking more with the incomparable Tony Spearman right here on WCRS. So don't you go away. Hey, if you've got another question or a comment, give us a call, 229-7984. That's 229-7984. News is up. We'll be back. Don't you go away.
This is Philip Biffle, your Greenwood Edward Jones Financial Advisor. Do you have a recovery plan for your investments? If not, there are several reasons we think you should. While interest rates are very low, certain income strategies and investments could help increase your investment income. Also, many investment portfolios are out of balance at a time when proper investment diversification may be most critical. You also may want to review your portfolio to consider replacing lower quality investments with higher quality investments that may be at attractive prices. No one can control what the market will do next. You can, however, take advantage of investment opportunities that exist today. At the same time, it is important to be well positioned for whatever the market does tomorrow. Please call me, Philip Biffle, or stop by my office today to develop your personalized recovery plan investment strategy. Please call me, Philip Biffle, at 229-0444, or stop by my office today to develop your personalized recovery plan investment strategy. Edward Jones, Making Sense of Investing, member SIPC.
Monday, happy day. Wednesday, happy days. Thursday, Friday, happy days. Saturday, what a day. Rock and roll.
We are right back here with Toni Spearman. She's here till the end of July. That's right, pretty much the end of July. Living in Germany now, playing all across Europe, and we are hearing some fascinating stories, and I hope I can get them back on the air here, because Toni and I have just been having a good time talking about how she actually got her start in singing the blues on a, what shall we say, really a more professional level. You actually had, your first band was called the Toni Spearman and the
Red-Eyed Blues Band.
Now, it's an interesting story how they got to be named the Red-Eyed Blues Band. Can you guess? Go ahead and tell us, Toni.
Yeah, we were having dinner after rehearsal. We were having dinner. And so we were sitting there talking, and then we're like, okay, we got to find a name for the band.
Mm-hmm.
So the bass player had said, well, naturally we're going to use your name, Toni Spearman, you're the front person. And I said, okay. And then we said, now we need a name for the band. So they were sitting there drinking beer, and there was so much smoke in the place, you know. So I looked down, and they had all red eyes. I said, all of you guys have red eyes. And the bass player said, that's it, Toni Spearman and the Red-Eyed Blues Band.
And that's how it started.
That's how it started.
You know, it is amazing because so many things happen that way, don't they?
Yeah.
I mean, it's just something hits and boom, you're on the go with it.
Yeah, yeah.
So you were playing, and then, you know, at one night you were playing Hot Chicago Blues and all this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Do you look back and ever pinch yourself and say, was that really real when you actually met Coco Taylor and all the guys at the festival and everything?
I would, you know, it's like, you know, just like I said, it's a thing where, you know, when you listen to them on the radio or you buy their album and stuff and you listen to it, and then all of a sudden you come face to face with them, and or you're standing on stage beside them, and you're like, okay, this is not real. So one day I'm going to wake up and realize that it was all just a dream, you know.
Yeah.
But then it's not, you know, it's real, you know. And then you get to meet all of these famous people, and and like I said, and it got to when I told them that I sang blues, and so Carrie Bell, the harmonica player from Muddy Waters.
But we need to back up. You went to a festival. You went to
the German American Blues Festival.
And you were sitting in the front row.
Front row, yeah. And the guys from, you know, they were on stage. Muddy Waters band was on stage playing. And Mr. Carrie Bell, the harmonica player, he came off the stage, came down on the floor, and he said, come on, girl, let's dance. And I said, okay. So I got up and I danced with them. And then he told me to come backstage, you know, and talk with them or go have dinner with them and talk. And that's what I did. So then he said to me, he says, and you can sing blues? I said, yeah. And he said, really? I said, yeah. And so he started playing something. So he said, let me hear you something. Let me hear you sing something. And so he played, you know, some riffs on the harmonica. And I just went, the gypsy woman told my mother, he said, you can sing blues.
I bet that's a moment you'll never forget.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, some of those things just stand out in your brain, don't they?
Yeah, yeah. And then they, you know, they asked me, did I have an agent or management or something? And I said, no, I don't right now. And so then he would say, okay, they would start asking me to come to play for the, you know, when they have festivals and something, I would open up for them,
mm-hmm.
you know, because I was a greenhorn. You know, the greenhorn, you know.
Yeah, right.
So you have to pay your dues to the music, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And so this is how I met, you know, Louisiana Red and, and Luther Allison and Jack Dupree. You know, it was telling the guy that wrote Caledonia.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I met him. So they would always sit me down and talk to me, you know, and tell me, you know, you're a greenhorn, so this is what you have to be careful for. And
what did they tell you? You didn't want to tell anybody. That's pretty funny.
Then Lucy Allison said, "And don't tell anyone that you're from South Carolina." I said, "Why not?" He said, "Because they will not accept you in the blues." And I found that to be true.
For real?
Yeah.
Why didn't they want somebody from South Carolina? I don't understand. Why not?
He said, "Because you know, most of the time when people say they're from South Carolina and sing blues, then they think, okay." People from South Carolina can cook. They're great cooks. But most of the time, they can't sing blues, you know. Okay. So.
And one of the reasons you had a good in with this whole group of people, though, was because you were an American.
Yeah.
And even though they were traveling,
yeah,
they liked.
They would always tell me, you know, it's always nice to run into someone that's from the States, you know. Because during the time the German-American Blues Festival go through whole Europe.
Mm-hmm.
And so they said, you know, it's always good to meet someone from home. And I said, yeah, it's great, you know.
Yeah,
to meet you guys, too.
From the other side, yeah.
Yeah.
Tell them you used to listen to all these guys on
transistor
radio?
Yeah, I told them the forbidden moment, you know.
You know, I think it's great when you're able to make something happen. You know, whatever it is, and you persist and you make it happen,
mm-hmm.
and surely we're going to talk a little bit more about you, how you made your life happen. But while you were in as a military police there in Germany, you were telling me about how you were the only black woman
that came to Bavaria as a military police.
Exactly.
So naturally, I had to go for newspaper interviews and pictures and stuff, and you know.
They probably asked and said, like they said to me, I'm from Maine originally. I came to North Carolina first, and people looked at me and said, I had a friend, and she'd say, "This is my friend Ann. She's from Maine." Say something, and people would swear to God, look at me down, up, and say something.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, I'll bet the same thing there.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. Because they would tape when people from South Carolina talk, you can't understand them. And I said, "Well, you can understand me." He said, "Yeah, but how long did you live in New York?"
Yeah.
I said, "Okay."
But you were very popular. You were very popular there, not only for the newspaper interviews, but working with the different
German police stations.
German police.
Because they would ask my company command if I could come work at the fifth precinct, and so I worked there for 1 month. And then the sixth precinct said, "Well, you had our month. We wanted to come work for us also." And so I would go from one to the other, you know.
You also got a big commendation for helping save a family.
Yeah, that was on Christmas, New Year's Eve.
Mm-hmm.
And so we was in the station, and we got this call that we had to go help the German police because it was a big fire. And matter of fact, where the fire was, it was like only maybe one street from where the military base were. And we went there and helped, and there was a family, Italian family, with six kids, a grandmother, and they pet from the kid. And so we helped them to get them out of the fire. And the kids, like a couple of them, they had to pronounce them dead.
Oh, my gosh.
So it was really sad, you know. And so one little kid, they said that he was gone, you know, forget it. So I was like, he doesn't look like he's dead, you know, because sometimes things like that look so deceiving, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So then I said, okay, I'm just going to try. Yeah. So I you know, held his nose, and instead of breathing through his nose, I breathed through his mouth.
Mm-hmm.
And then I breathed through his nose, and then all of this smoke and stuff kept coming out of his mouth. And he woke up. Yeah. So.
You know, Tony Spearman, you have some phenomenal experiences when you look back over your life. Isn't it phenomenal?
Yeah. It's like, sometimes I think it was this really believable that this all happened, you know, but it happened. You know.
It happened, and you've got commendations from the...
Yeah, I got from the military from Washington. I got a commendation medal, one of the highest medals from the military. The commendation medal, and then I got took into the Military Police Association.
That had to make your grandfather, you know, your grandfather's such a big supporter of you.
Go see the world.
Yeah, he told you to go see the world. Yeah. You know, when he found out about that, I mean, not only your parents, but I know your grandfather was very supportive in this.
He was.
It had to make him proud.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, he did. My father also. My father was in the Navy.
Yeah.
He was also, yeah.
So Tony Spearman, right here from Greenwood, traveling the world with great stories. Hey, I'm Ann Eller right here with you today. When we come back, I guess we ought to hear a song, but we got so much good stories, it's hard to break away to the music. But we'll play a song when we come back. Don't you go away. Hey, if you've got a question, give us a call, 229-7984. That's 229-7984.
Gray sky, hello blue. There's nothing can hold me.
Gold dust at my feet on the sunny side of.
This year will be a simpler year. One fine gift to last a lifetime from Mother Earth with love. A diamond to light the way and create the energy to keep your love alive. Only at Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72 Greenwood, 229-6276.
Good times roll right here at Sharp Facets Gallery. And, of course, that's one of the songs that Tony recorded. Now, of course, you told me that's a B.B. King song, and you kind of rearranged that.
To my own style.
To your own style.
Yeah.
And, of course, she's written other songs, though, so-called Friends. And what about that, Tearing Us Apart?
No, that's a song from Eric Clapton.
That's Eric Clapton. Okay,
yeah.
I didn't recognize that one. And then, though, this song right here, though. You wrote this one, didn't you?
Yeah.
Okay. Can't Get No Lovin' Over the Telephone. Now, there are those that would disagree, Tony. But we're not going to be able to hear that one right now. But sometime I am going to play that one on the air for everybody. But we do have Let the Good Times Roll. That one, and I think with all the fun we're having here today, that's a good choice to play. So, Andy, would you cue that up and play that one for us? Good times roll. We're certainly having a good time right here with Tony Spearman. so nice of her to come by and sit down and talk with us. I tell you what, there is a lot going on, and she's just gotten here from Germany. We're going to be running out of time, I know, but we need to know how we got from military police, getting out of the military, to living in Germany. Now, there has to be a story there. Working
okay.
for Volkswagen.
Yeah.
Right? How did that story come together?
Okay, when I got out of the military, I came back to Greenwood, and this German guy that I know worked on the base, and he said, well, if you're getting out, why don't you just stay in Germany? And I said, I don't have a job. And so he said, well, my brother works for Volkswagen. I'll bring you, an application, fill it out, and then see what happens. And so I said, okay, but I'm still, going back to the States. So he said, I tell you what, if they hire you, then you just buy me a big, expensive bottle of champagne. I said, okay, it's a deal. And so when I came back to Greenwood, I was here, I don't know, maybe, say a week and a half, maybe 2 weeks, mm-hmm. and I got a letter from Volkswagen saying, If you like it, we have a job for you.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, that goes under that impossible dream, doesn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah,
to get back over there to Germany.
Yeah, like that unbelievable thing, is happening. You know?
Yeah.
And then you ask yourself, okay, someone up there have something in store for me, if this keeps happening, And so then I said to my grandfather, I said, Volkswagen.
I'm leaving again.
Yeah. They sent me a plane ticket. I said, I'm going to go. So he said, well, you're going to need money to live off of. So I said, okay. And then he said, well, where are you going to be staying? And so I said, well, I don't know. I said, the apartment that I used to have with the military had for me. I said, I don't know if it's free. So I called the lady, that had the apartment. I asked, she said, well, if you want the apartment, I'll make sure that you get it. And I went back. Volkswagen took care of everything. So I went back and started working for Volkswagen.
Now, what did you do for Volkswagen?
I worked import-export with German and English, even though my German wasn't that well at the time.
How's your German now?
Good.
Good?
Yeah.
Good.
Yes.
Yeah.
Good.
So, but how long did you actually work for Volkswagen?
I worked for Volkswagen about almost 8 years.
8 years.
Yeah.
And then what happened? What happened when
I was always playing music, on the weekends and on my spare time and stuff. And then it got to a point because my music kept getting more and more and more, so I had to make a choice, either go professional or just forget about the music and just do it as a hobby and, and work for Volkswagen. I was scared, but I said, well, you can only see if it happens if you jump in the cold water. So I did.
You've done that several times, Tony Spearman.
Yeah.
Jumped in the cold water.
Yeah, but I always had a chance to swim.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah.
You did.
Yeah.
So now you live in Germany.
Yes.
Okay. You tour professionally all over Europe.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Where's your favorite place to go in Europe?
Portugal.
Portugal?
Beautiful.
Wow.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Wow.
That's my first choice, and Switzerland is the second choice.
Second choice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because Switzerland has so many high mountains, and it's very nice to paraglide off the mountains.
Do you go paragliding?
Oh, I love it.
Okay, see, she's keeping the tradition alive. She's still taking chances here.
I love it.
But, it's interesting from the perspective of, the economy and what's happening.
Yeah.
I'm sure from your perspective over there, have you seen effects being a musician, singer, for the economy over there as far as you're concerned?
It's a thing like this. When they'll say, we'll put it this way. Like right now, we'll say it's hard times and it's not hard times because of the economy. And what I've learned in Europe, like when they're kind of hard times, people want to be more entertained, so they don't want to think about the everyday problems that they go through.
Mm-hmm.
So they'll say, okay, when I get off work, then I'll go hear live music. And that way I'll be away from this for a while because when I go back to work tomorrow, that same problem is going to be there. But they like to, be entertained and say, okay, so they don't have to think about the situation, just what's happening right now.
Another thing I've heard about European audiences is they're much more quiet. They sit and pay attention to the music more.
It depends.
Depends, okay.
It depends.
Oh, sounds like she's a rowdy one and gets them all rowdied up here. Maybe that's it. Tell us a little bit about that, Tony.
It depends on what kind of music it is. And then, the European public is very, very good public.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they're not so, you know, the American public is, they're kind of laid back sometimes before they really get riled up. But the European public, if they like you, they will cheer you to the end. But if they don't like you, it's like, zip, you know, they just you won't say anything.
You know right away that you're not kidding this audience. Is that what you're saying?
There you go.
Yes.
And this is why before I go on stage, I always let my band play two songs so I can listen to the public, the reaction.
Yeah.
Then I know just how to catch them when I go on stage.
So you adjust based on how you think they're reacting to their music.
Yeah, well, I let the band play, and then I'll see how they react to it.
Yeah.
And then I said, okay, so when I go on stage, I know just what song to sing to catch them.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, once you catch them and keep them there all night, then...
They're yours.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Now, we got to tell one more story as we're getting close to the top of the hour.
Mm-hmm.
You were telling me that you keep a diary, and, you know, you keep the funny stuff as well as the serious stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you were telling me about wearing leather shoes out onto the
stage. Yeah.
I mean, this is a great story, and I can just visualize this one. Go ahead and tell us this one, Tony.
Okay, we played in this place called Deckendorf. It's not for, you know, it's going towards Czechoslovakia, but it's in German over the border. And so we played in this big place, I guess, about the size of the community theater. And the band was jamming, and I was ready. And people were going crazy, you know, they were yelling, waiting. And I walked in on the stage, and I didn't realize because the floor was, you know, hardwood floors. And what I didn't realize that they had waxed the floor, and I had on leather bottom shoes. I'm going out on stage, you know, dancing, boogieing out on the stage, and slipped from the stage right into the public.
They thought it was part of the act.
And the public caught me, these guys that were standing in front of the stage, they caught me because they thought I was doing body smicing. And they were just screaming and, yay, body smicing. And I was like, okay, you guys are thinking I'm doing body smicing. And I'm thinking I could have broke my behind up here. And the band, when we played, and we did our show, the best, you know, we tried to do the best. And then when the curtains closed, the drummer said, "Did you get hurt?" I said, "No." They all laid on the floor and laughed like they were crazy. Yeah.
You know, you're listening to WCRS right here in Greenwood. I am here with Tony Spearman. Tony, I got to ask you, though, the next day, how did you feel?
Great.
You weren't sore or anything?
No, you weren't? I didn't have time.
You didn't have time?
I had to be sore because I knew I had to do a show the next day.
Well, you know what? It certainly has been a pleasure to have you here on the air with us this afternoon. We've had a great time talking with Tony Spearman. She is going to be at Stokey's on July 14th.
Mm-hmm.
She's got a lot of good stuff she's going to be doing, and I certainly hope you will catch her shows while she's here. If she's got anything else that comes up, I know you'll let us know, and I'll make sure to get it out there on the radio.
I would like to thank my record company, Michael Nussweather.
Mm-hmm.
Because if it wasn't for him, you know, giving me a good contract and stuff and pushing me, then I wouldn't be here with this. And I'd be playing, but I don't know if I would have the songs I have on the radio all over, everywhere, America, Germany, Europe, everywhere. You know,
that's cool.
And I'd like to thank him.
You know, it's nice to have reached the stage that you've reached and be able to still be out there having a good time and playing the blues.
Yeah, I think thanks to Michael Nussweather, you know, because he believed in me, and he says, we'll do it.
Well, we all need somebody to believe in us, don't we? Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, Tony, I certainly hope when you're back here in Greenwood again that you'll give us a call and we'll sit down and talk about other stuff, because I'm telling you what, this is a story that keeps on giving here.
Yeah, it sure is.
Thank you so much, Tony.
And we hope you come out to see our show on the 14th or on the 20th when we come to Howard.
Yeah.
And don't forget, life is a challenge.
Life is a challenge, and don't forget, you can't get no loving over the telephone. You have to do it in person.
That's right. That's safe.
Thanks so much, Tony.
Thank you for inviting me. I've enjoyed it.
All right. Bye-bye. Listen, we are going to finish up with Fox News. Then I think it's, we got another little segment coming up, Living the Carolinas. What do we got coming up? Anyways, I'll be back for happy hour, and we will be hearing what Jeff Duncan had to say about the decisions that came out of the Supreme Court today. So don't you go away.
Hey, listen, stay right with us. We've just interviewed Toni Spearman, but I've got some of her music I'm going to play during happy hour. So why not take a listen? We're going to play Can't Get No Lovin' Over the Telephone. And then I think we're going to play Who's That Girl? Don't miss it right here on WCRS. That's right. You stay tuned. These are after Meet Me at the Diner when we continue with happy hour. And today it's all about Toni Spearman.
Thursday, Friday, happy days. Saturday, what a day. Rock and roll week with you. This day's
all. Oh, that's right. It just seemed like it should be the continuation of Meet Me at the Diner today. We'll get to be happy here in just a little bit, but gosh, what a big, big day on the healthcare market here. I tell you what, I think a lot of people were very, very, very surprised to see what the Supreme Court did. 5-4 vote, and of course, Supreme Court Justice Roberts wrote the majority opinion on that. So it'll be interesting to see what comes out of all this. Of course, the big news is basically, if I'm understanding this correctly, they can now tax us for our health care here. They didn't say that the Commerce Clause was not exactly legal, but that they can tax us. What do you think about that? I'm not sure I like that idea. I thought we were taxed enough already, yes. But, the president had said that this wasn't a tax, and yet the Supreme Court bailed him out by interpreting his argument as a tax rather than a mandate and an expansion of the Commerce Clause. So I thought that Congressman Jeff Duncan, we contacted him, and he is we had an interview with him this afternoon before we came on the air. We talked about not only the health care, fast and furious, immigration, the contempt charges that they're going to try to file this afternoon on Eric Holder. Earlier in the day, I did see where some of the Democrats were walking out of the chambers while they had this vote, so I haven't been able to keep up totally with it this afternoon because I have been on the air with Toni Spearman. We had a delightful time this afternoon just talking about her life and some of her experiences. I think if you didn't get to hear it, or if you'd like to link this to somebody else so they can hear it, let them know about it. You know, it'll be posted up there on Anne's, A-N-N-E-S. EntertainmentVision.com. That's Anne's EntertainmentVision.com. So make sure you check that out. And of course, the video will be up tomorrow. Toni will be here in Greenwood area through the end of July. She's also going to be playing at Stokey's on July 14th, and she'll be playing at Howard's on July 20th. So I'm going to put that on the radar for you so you don't forget about it. But we had a great time, and I look forward to talking to her again real soon. I also look forward to playing her song, Can't Get No Lovin' Over the Telephone. I think a lot of people would dispute that, Toni, just for the record, if you're still listening to us as you leave us here. But we'll check out that song after a while and play that. But hey, let's hear what Congressman Jeff Duncan had to say here, and take it away, Congressman Jeff Duncan. That was earlier this afternoon.
So I'm here with Congressman Jeff Duncan. We are going to be talking about what just happened this morning, 10 o'clock. Congressman Jeff Duncan, how you doing today?
Well, I'm doing okay, and it's kind of an interesting day here in Washington.
It is. Now, just out of curiosity, did you have any idea that it was going to go the way it went?
Absolutely not. And I think the surprise of the day was the fact that the Chief Justice, John Roberts, was the deciding vote on the side that ruled this Obamacare legislation as being constitutional. That caught us a lot by surprise. But you know what? They pointed out one very, very key factor here is that this is the largest tax increase in United States history. And those Democrats that supported this and who said over and over, including the president, this was not a tax increase, now that the court has pointed out that it is a tax increase, are they willing to defend that position and support it, or are they willing to repeal it and stand with us to replace it with free market solutions?
Have you heard any reaction from anybody on this, Jeff?
You know, I have within the Republican Conference, our leaders and individuals that have called our offices and what I've seen on Facebook and other things. And so, you know, from day one, Ann, when you were here in January of 2011, one of the first bills we voted on that day or the next day was to repeal Obamacare, something that we believe in. In fact, we've cast over 30 votes to either totally repeal or repeal different sections of Obamacare legislation. And with our goal of total repeal and replacement with free market solutions, that were solutions that do not put government between you as the patient and your doctor that's providing your health care, solutions that don't increase our nation's debt and deficit spending, solutions that do not rob $500 billion from Medicare, solutions that do not ration care for the most vulnerable of Americans, and that's our senior adults. We want to put real market solutions in place that allow the healthcare provider and the patient to make their healthcare decisions without government interference or saying when or what procedures you can have, whether they're medically necessary or not. That decision ought to be made by the doctor with the patient's consultation and not by the government.
Absolutely. Now, as far as far-reaching effects here, you know, if the Supreme Court is willing to say that it's a tax, they can tax you on the health care, I guess that means they can tax us to exercise or tax us to do just about anything, can't they?
Absolutely. It opens up a Pandora's box for what the government can or cannot tell you to do and penalize you for not doing or for doing. And so it's going to be interesting to see how we move forward. I think this is a wonderful opportunity for Governor Romney as he moves forward seeking the White House and Republicans trying to take control of the Senate and continue to control the House. It's an opportunity to point out all the flaws in Obamacare. It actually, the court has opened the wounds again for America to really understand all the things I mentioned earlier that Obamacare really is. You know, it does ration care. It takes $500 billion out of Medicare. It is a tax increase. It does add to our nation's debt. It does get the government between you and your doctors making health care decisions for you. And so we've got an opportunity to continue pointing that out. I don't think it bodes well for the president, although they're gloating right now over the decision. I think ultimately it will cost him the White House. And it is an opportunity for Governor Romney to champion true limited government free market reforms.
Now, as far as in the upcoming weeks, is there anything that's going to be done, or is there just a standoff until either this fall or this first of the year?
Well, my understanding is we're going to come back after the July 4th break next week. You know, the nation's going to be celebrating 236 years ago. You know, what's so ironic about this? 1 week away from our celebration, 236th anniversary of the signing of the Declaration of Independence, we see this as a total assault on individual liberty and individual sovereignty with Obamacare and what the Supreme Court upheld today. And so we come back after the 4th of July break as Americans celebrate the founding of this country. We will vote once again to repeal, total repeal of Obamacare out of the House, send that to the abyss, knowing the United States Senate, knowing that Harry Reid's not going to take that up and it'll go in file 13. But it will signal the intent purpose, I think, of the wave election in 2010 that put the Republicans in control of the House is to repeal this, what I still believe is unconstitutional piece of legislation that that should go away and be replaced with something different.
And can it be, since the Supreme Court, can it be repealed?
Absolutely. The court just upheld the law as it was written as constitutional. And, you know, based on the facts of the case, the suit that was brought, you know, we make the laws here, so we can repeal that and replace it with a different kind of law. There's nothing in the Constitution that says we have to provide health care to Americans. And you know, it was a law that was passed. We can repeal it just like we're going to repeal any law, and we can replace it, which we will replace it with something that's more, it will have some facets of free market solutions in there. to allow maybe insurance companies across state lines and provide different policies for South Carolina that they may provide in other states, and allow for more access, allow for compassion and like continuation of Medicaid and Medicare as we know it, without expansions of that. That's one thing the court did strike down, as an expansion of Medicaid. And so it's going to be interesting to see what we're able to pass through Congress. This is all about November right now. We're going to focus on putting a new president in the White House, because this president has basically overseen a tremendous government overreach, and we need to roll that back.
Absolutely. Now, of course, this afternoon, I understand that you're going to be voting on a contempt vote for Eric Holder. Is
probably
that correct?
Probably one of the easiest votes that I'll cast, because, you know, we issued, the Congress issued through its oversight responsibility and role, we issued a subpoena for certain documents that were being withheld by the Department of Justice. Now, you've said all the facts of Fast and Furious to the side. This isn't Fast and Furious is the issue of the day, but the contempt vote is on the fact that Congress issued a subpoena to the Attorney General, the highest legal authority in the land, who totally ignored that subpoena. Now, if the Attorney General can ignore a subpoena, and we allow that to go through, then what does a congressional subpoena mean? What does any subpoena mean after that? And so I think it's the right vote. They ignored it, and they failed to comply with that subpoena, provide the documents. And so we're going to hold them in contempt. We're going to go to the civil court, and the court's going to rule, I think, for the DOJ to release 80,000 pages of documents so we can really get down to the bottom of the issue that caused Brian Terry to lose his life.
And what about invoking President Obama, invoking executive privilege over this? What do you get out of it?
Executive privilege, you know, has been used many, many times. George Bush used it. President Obama chastised George Bush for using, President Bush at the time, for using executive privilege for similar situations under the leaks with Libby. You know, what's amazing in all of this is the White House has been responsible for tremendous security leaks during their administration, and nobody's really talking about that. I disagree with his use of executive privilege. I say release the documents. Let's get to the bottom of this. You know, the question now beckons, who knew what and who knew what when? This really seems very similar to Iran-Contra. This seems very similar to Watergate. It seems very similar to a number of other investigations that have gone on where we ask those questions. Who knew what? Who knew what, and when did they know it? How high did it go? Who authorized the guns walking across the Mexican border without being tracked? And those guns were ultimately used to kill a agent of the Customs and Border Patrol. That's what the investigation is about, is how do we allow firearms to walk across the southern border in New Mexico into the hands of the drug cartel to ultimately be used to take American lives? That was wrong, and I think it's an assault or an affront on our Second Amendment rights. And we just want to get to the bottom of who knew what and when.
And one more question. Earlier in the week, of course, the Supreme Court issued its decision on immigration. I find it unbelievable that the immigration office, the federal immigration office, is not going to be taking the calls from Arizona on issues. Can that be believed?
You should not be alarmed or surprised by anything that comes out of the Obama administration with regard to protecting the citizenship rights of people in this country that are here illegally, that are natural-born citizens, who are granting amnesty to illegals, who are continuing to allow a forced southern border, who will not take immigration issues and customs enforcement issues as one of the highest priorities, and will continue to basically ignore laws passed by Congress and pick and choose which laws they're going to enforce. And so when the federal government fails to do any of that, the states, I think, have a responsibility, as Arizona tried to do, to say, look, if the federal government's not going to do this, then we're going to do it, because this is about our citizens in Arizona. This is about access to what citizens of Arizona pay for with their tax dollars, whether it's public education or health care services within the state of Arizona or within South Carolina. If the federal government's going to fail to do their job, the states have a responsibility. You know, I go back to Article 4, Section 4, which guarantees every state that joins the republic or republican form of government, which means that's what we have, is a republic, if we can keep it, according to Ben Franklin. But it also says it will guarantee and protect all the states against invasion. Now, we're in being invaded by folks that are illegally coming into this country who haven't gone through the legal means. And the Obama administration wants to say, it's okay if you broke our law and come across our southern border. In fact, we're going to move you to the front of the line and go ahead and give you citizenship. Doesn't matter if you're going through the legal means and you're in line trying to get in this country. We're going to allow these illegals to get in front of you. It's just wrong, Ann, and we're going to continue to fight it. That's something I'm very, very passionate about.
I know you are. I know you are. And what effect will that have on South Carolina? I mean, weren't we part of that lawsuit, too?
We were. I mean, our law was mirrored after the Arizona law, and I don't know if they're 100% exactly alike, but it's definitely mirrored after that. And so I think South Carolina will be treated the same as Arizona now. And I'll alarm South Carolinians that DOJ may and the Customs Border Patrol and ICE may just ignore immigration laws when it comes to South Carolina. And so I think it's an interesting decision by the Supreme Court. I think they ruled wrongly on most of it. And you know, what responsibilities do the states have to protect citizens of those states?
Absolutely. Well, I know you're probably looking forward to getting out of Washington, but then you'll be back, you said, after July 4th. Is that right?
Yeah, we're just going to be gone. America, you know, basically slows down. It doesn't shut down, but it slows down to observe our national holiday, our Independence Day. And I hope Americans and South Carolinians that are listening to your radio show will pause to reflect on the founding documents, the Declaration of Independence, when we shook off the tyrannical government from England and decided we wanted to be one free nation and that we wanted to put our rights in God and our individual liberties, and we wanted to uphold those. And then when we won that war, we came back 1787 and passed the Constitution of the United States, and we set forth three equal branches of government. And we're seeing an assault on that today with the expansion of the executive powers. I just hope Americans will step back and really reflect on what it means to be an American, what the American dream is, and what our founders really wanted to achieve when they set this form of government in place, and the fact that they wanted a limited central government, wanted more power resting with the states and ultimately with the people. That's really what it's all about, and that's what I'm championing here in Washington. That's limited government, and that's more individual liberties.
Absolutely. Well, Congressman Jeff Duncan, I certainly hope you'll keep up the good fight there, and I hope that we can have some results with the election coming up in November.
Well, I hope so as well, and I want to wish everyone a happy Independence Day, and be safe, and like I said, just focus on the founding of this country, and let's remember what it is to be an American and what America is all about.
Absolutely. Thanks so much for calling us, Congressman Jeff Duncan. God bless.
God bless you, too, Ann. Thank you very much.
All righty. Bye-bye.
All right. Well, that is Congressman Jeff Duncan right here with us on WCRS. We did get a statement there from Congressman Trey Gowdy, and he says that the question every American should now be asking themselves is, what's next? Can Congress tax you for not exercising enough since the impact? The cost of health care? Can Congress tax you for eating certain foods or offer tax breaks for avoiding certain foods? Can Congress tax you because you only walk on the treadmill and don't run? Are there any limits to the power of the federal government? And then he says, our forefathers would not recognize the modern-day interpretation of the document they wrote and ratified. The president said this wasn't a tax, and the Supreme Court bailed him out by reinterpreting his argument as a tax rather than a mandate and an expansion of the Commerce Clause. Federalism is gone. The state has the power to control via mandate or tax virtually all aspects of your life. It's a sad day for those of us who believe in personal responsibility. And that, of course, is Congressman Trey Gowdy. And, of course, he is at the forefront of the fight that, I don't know, may be going on right now. I have no idea, but they certainly felt, because he is on the Oversight Committee with ISA, that this was a direction they were going with the contempt charges on Eric Holder. So right now, it is almost time for South Carolina news and a word from our sponsors. So I certainly hope you'll stay tuned with us. When we come back, I think I might pull out Tony Spearman. She gave me the CD that you can't get love through the telephone line. That's what she says. Do you believe it? Well, I think I might play another one of her songs right here. We're going to get into happy hour. We need to get happy here for a little while because, God, life just goes on and on. Hey, don't you go away. I'll be right back.
Gold, more precious than any other time in history. Do you have gold? Do you need cash? Then bring it to SFG. That's Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72, Greenwood. Telephone 229-6613. Don't forget, we buy diamonds too. Paying the highest prices for your gold and diamonds at Sharp Facets Gallery.
Can't get no lovin' over the telephone. Hey, we just had a great interview with her right here on WCRS, right here in Greenwood. That's right. It was a pleasure to sit down and talk to a worldwide star. That's right. Over in Europe, she is huge. Over here in the Carolinas, she is huge. And she is making her name all across this country. So if you like the blues, I want to check out Tony Spearman. That was Can't Get No Lovin' Over the Telephone. Salute! We made it through another day, folks. This was a huge day in Washington, D.C., and now I guess we'll get to see how all this plays out for across the country. What are the answers? What do people feel about things? That's what we're going to be finding out. So I certainly hope you'll stay right with us right here on WCRS. There'll be a lot of conversation, I understand, tonight on the Jim Bohannon Show, 10 to 1. He said it's going to be healthcare, and more healthcare. So make sure you tune in if you want all the details. Jim Bohannon has a whole lineup of great guests that are going to be on tonight to talk about this. So check that out. What is the temperature right here in Greenwood? I tell you what, after having Tony Spearman here in the studio, things are hot, hot, hot. That's right. 98 degrees outside and sunny skies. That's right. It is, they do have a heat advisory, I do believe, going on right now. So let's just check and say what they say. Air quality alert in effect and a heat advisory in effect from noon until Friday at 7 p.m. So it's going to be hot. We knew it was coming. It's finally here. What are we looking for tonight? Well, let's check that out right now for you. 98 degrees tonight, mainly clear skies, low around 70 degrees. Tomorrow, mainly sunny, very hot, high near 105. Can you believe it? The other night it was 59 degrees, and tomorrow a high of 105. Tomorrow evening, what are we looking at? Low of 74. So, while you're thinking about things, don't forget about our pets out there. You know, they get pretty hot out there, and, of course, dogs, they just pant, and they need some fresh, cool water. I mean, the problem is you leave that water in a metal dish or something, it gets pretty hot, so make sure you're putting fresh water out there for any of your pets, the dogs, the cats, et cetera. Take care of them. Just something to think about as well as thinking about yourself. If you know of somebody elder that's living alone in a house, make sure they've either got a fan or something going to keep some air circulating if they don't have air conditioning. But let's make sure everybody's okay. And you yourself, make sure you are hydrated. Get some water. Keep hydrated because you can get overheated very quickly in this type of heat. But, gosh, it's been a fast day. Good to be here with you this afternoon. What did the price of gold do? You know, we were kind of concerned on what the price of gold is doing. It did. If I the figures stayed the same going into the end of the day, it did. Well, it was down. Gold was down here today. So let's see what we got on the gold for the end of the day. Just trying to get you some information. Was that the end of the day? No, we got to see. This morning, gold was at $1,570. This afternoon, it is at $1,552. Price of gold down $22. $22. This is not a good sign. What else is going on? Silver's down 62 cents to $26.32. So you know, if you've been watching the market and trying to decide when to sell this, you might not ought to hold them. You might ought to sell them if you know you're going to need to be selling. If you know you're not going to need to be selling, well, maybe you can just put it up and hold on. But if you're in the market and you know you need to sell, you might should come see us right here at Sharp Facets Gallery on the 72 Bypass. Don't forget, not only do we buy gold and diamonds and sterling silver jewelry, we buy sterling silver flatware. That's the knives, the forks, the spoons, the serving pieces, hollowware, tea sets, water pitchers, cream and sugars, candlesticks. Always buying all of those. They just do need to be sterling, so come see us today. Whew, I tell you what, I think I am going to pour myself a libation. I need something cool to cool me off because it's so hot outside. So why don't you stay right with us right here live on Happy Hour on WCRS. I think I'd like to hear a word from our sponsors that make all these shows possible. Hey, if you'd like to be a sponsor, give us a call, 229-7984. That's 229-7984.
For the individual engrossed in McDonald's new Deluxe Angus Third Pounder, the world simply ceases to exist. You savor each bite of thick, juicy 100% Angus beef, topped with crisp red onions and crinkle-cut pickles, oblivious to the fact that the pantsuit you borrowed from your roommate has become a full-body napkin for your fanatical feasting frenzy. Angus axiom number 5, ignorance is bliss, or in this case, vice versa. Get lost in one of three new Angus Third Pounders, only at participating McDonald's.
Visit your local McDonald's in Greenwood and Abbeville today.
Another Tony Spearman for you. Who's that girl?
After work when I come home, you're always on the telephone. Tell me who's that girl. Oh, tell me who's that girl. You said you met her in the spring. Now she's giving you everything.
That's another Tony Spearman. Who's that girl from her CD? Yes, can't get no lovin' over the telephone. Hey, she left us a copy right here, a great CD. Got some really good songs on it. Let's see, what have we got here? Boogie at Stokey's, Apple on a Tree, That Kind of Girl. Tony's Groove, I'll Be Your Lover at Mr. Blues. Good Love Gone Bad, Jumpin' Jack Flash, and Can't Get No Lovin' Over the Telephone. So she'll be, she's going to be at Stokey's on the 14th of July. And, of course, she will be back. She'll be at Howard's, I believe, on the 20th. She's going to be staying here in the USA, right here in Greenwood, right up till, I believe she told me, July 25th. But if you want to catch some of her stories, they are great stories of somebody that went out in the world and wasn't afraid to jump in. You can check her audio on the website tomorrow morning. Should be uploaded by tomorrow morning right there on annsentertainmentvision.com. Check that out. Or you can also see the video. That'll be posted tomorrow, probably about lunchtime. So check those out. A lot of fun. Glad I got to interview her right here in Greenwood. She's only been here 2 days, and she was tired, and I thought she was pretty revved up. All right, what else is happening out there in the world? Healthcare. Of course, how is it going to affect South Carolina? How is it going to affect the USA? How is it going to affect the markets? You know, there's a lot of questions about a lot of things out there. But I'm sure we'll find out more as the day goes on and the days go on. Of course, tomorrow is Friday, and that means in the 4 to 5 hour we will be doing Giveaway Friday. I think somebody said something about doing vacation songs, summer songs, something along that way. But you'll want to tune in and have a good time with us as we celebrate the last Friday of June. Can you believe our year is already halfway gone? Unbelievable. But there are a couple other things I want to tell you about. Don't forget this weekend, Festival of Stars. Festival of Stars will be going on right over there in 96. Actually starts tomorrow night. It's going to be hot, but you don't want to miss all the things going over there at the Festival of Stars. 8 o'clock tomorrow night, the street dance with the radio band that goes on. There's also a flag retirement ceremony. And then starting Saturday morning, 10 o'clock, it is the parade. Now, this is an old-timey parade. Everybody can be part of the parade, whether you have a big wheels, whether you have two wheels, one wheel, whether you have a flatbed truck, whether you have a truck or an antique car. Everybody can be part of the parade. Starts at 10 o'clock over there. I think you need to be over there 9:15, 9:30 to line up and get ready to proceed. No entry fee, no nothing. They just want everybody to be involved. All day long, it's music, it's food, it's entertainment. They've got mechanical rides over there. They've got these huge human-sized hamster balls that you can roll around in. And then, of course, tomorrow evening starting at 8 o'clock, it is the 246 Army Band will be back again this year. They will play for, I guess, approximately an hour or so, and then starting at around 9:30-ish will be the fireworks. So it's a great 4th of July extravaganza celebrating our nation's 236th birthday. So I think that's going to be that'll be very cool. I certainly hope you'll get out and be part of that. There'll be other things going on, and, of course, tomorrow morning at the 8 o'clock hour, you need to tune into my show, the I Love Ann Show, where we will be talking about all the good things going on in Greenwood. Also see what's happening as far as maybe we'll know some more of the fallout from what happened here. I guess we'll also get to know about Eric Holder, what happened with him. I'm looking through my little joke book here. I came across a great joke. Shows the boss looking at an employee, and he's got a tablet in his hand, and it says, "It's not personal, Carl. I just downloaded a new phone app that will replace you." I've been practicing my own human sound rather than the computer. How was that one? All right. What else have we got here this evening? Going to be hot, 74 degrees to close up here tonight. I thought I'd play another song for you. That's right. What's one of my favorite songs here as we get close to that 6 o'clock hour? Sports Talk will be coming up after that, America News Network at 8 o'clock. But what's one of my favorites? Well, I thought I would play Amos Milbourne, One Scotch, One Bourbon, One Beer, right here, right now.
One scotch, one bourbon, one beer. One scotch, one bourbon, one beer. Bartender,
sister, listen here. I ain't here for trouble and have no fear. One scotch, one bourbon, one beer. I don't want soda, no bubble gum. You got what I want, just serve me some. Since my baby's been gone, everything's lost. I'm on this kick and I can't get off. One scotch, one bourbon, one beer. One scotch, one bourbon, one beer. Please, Mr. Bartender, listen here. I ain't here for trouble, so have no fear. One scotch, one bourbon, one beer. My woman started me on this tree. I can't find her and she can't find me. She left this morning, said she wouldn't stay. She's been out all night and it's the break of day. One scotch, one bourbon, one beer. One scotch, one bourbon, one beer. Please, Mr. Bartender, listen here. I ain't here for trouble, so have no fear. One scotch, one bourbon, one beer. One more nip and make it strong. I got to find my baby, takes all night long. One scotch, one bourbon, one beer.
Oh, that's right. This is WCRS right here in Greenwood, South Carolina. Amos Milbourne bringing us up to the top of the hour with one scotch, one bourbon, one beer. Will it take more than that tonight? Hey, if it does, make sure you're not driving. That's all I have to say. Enjoy. Salute. I'll be back in the morning. Stay right with us right here on WCRS, right here in Greenwood, 98 degrees. It's a hot one, going to cool down to 74 tonight, 105 for the high tomorrow. Be prepared, folks. That's going to do it for me. I'm Ann Eller. Bye-bye, everybody.